Let's get this done. We are here, and you know how to reach us.
Seeking new talks with North Korea. It's Tuesday, December 17th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Afghans displaced by war, India's growing student protests, a southern home for Vietnamese refugees. All on today's VOA Asia. A senior U.S. diplomat Monday made a last-minute plea for North Korea to stop its provocations and re-enter nuclear negotiations, just ahead of Pyongyang's end-of-year deadline for nuclear talks. Stephen Biegun, Washington's special representative for North Korea, made the gesture in Seoul during talks with his South Korean counterpart, Lee Doo-hoon.
Let me speak directly to our counterparts in North Korea. It is time for us to do our jobs. Let's get this done. We are here, and you know how to reach us.
Biegun spoke just days after North Korea conducted two tests, apparently of engines for long-range missiles. Pyongyang has promised to deliver an ominous Christmas gift if the United States does not offer more concessions by the end of the year. The moves have intensified fears that major tensions could return to Korea in 2020, possibly derailing nearly 2 years of diplomacy between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
Let me be absolutely clear. The United States does not have a deadline. We have a goal to fulfill the commitments the two leaders made during their historic summit meeting in Singapore.
In recent weeks, North Korea has expressed frustration at the United States' refusal to acknowledge its end-of-year ultimatum and has increased threats as the deadline approaches. Nuclear talks broke down in February when Trump walked away from a summit in Hanoi with Kim. VOA Asia's Ira Melman spoke with Frank Aum, North Korea expert at the United States Institute of Peace.
Frank, what's going on in North Korea, as you understand it? Why are they seemingly pulling away?
It's unclear because North Korea seems to want the U.S. to offer greater concessions before the end of the year, but then North Korea is not giving the U.S. the opportunity to provide those concessions in a potential meeting with Biegun and his counterpart. That's the unclear part. Clearly, it seems like North Korea wants the opportunity to hear more about potential concessions from the U.S., but it's not giving the U.S. the opportunity to present those concessions.
What about this deadline? Biegun does say, as far as the U.S. is concerned, there is no deadline.
Right. So it's North Korea that set the end-of-the-year deadline. My sense is that they don't want to be trapped in this game where they're in in dragged-out negotiations with the U.S. with no benefits to North Korea. It would be to the U.S. benefit to maintain negotiations while not providing the sanctions relief and other incentives that North Korea wants. So North Korea doesn't want to play that game. They don't want to get into dragged-out negotiations, it seems. That's why they set the end-of-the-year deadline. But again, that's why it doesn't make sense. If you set the end-of-the-year deadline for a better deal from the U.S., but then you don't give the U.S. a chance to offer that deal, then I'm not sure what North Korea's strategy is here.
Will the United States, in any way you can see or predict, accept a reduction in sanctions or other demands that Pyongyang is making without giving up its nuclear weapons program?
It's hard to say because the U.S. Policy from the very beginning of the Trump administration has been not to make the mistakes that previous administrations have made. And one of the mistakes that they've identified is to provide relief from sanctions too early in the process. So they've said this all along, no sanctions relief until North Korea denuclearizes. Now, I don't know if that's just a talking point or that is, in fact, the policy that they intend to stick to. But it seems to me that North Korea is getting the sense that the U.S. is holding fast to that policy and we're not going to see sanctions relief. And that's why North Korea is not willing to engage in negotiations in any time in the near future.
But isn't this the fulcrum of the whole problem, that it is the North Korean nuclear program that is the center of attention and the center of many talks that might take place.
It is, but recognize that it's not a one-sided issue, and we can't expect North Korea to give up everything without equal and proportional concessions in return. So it's not just a denuclearization negotiation. It's a denuclearization and peace negotiation. So North Korea needs to take denuclearization steps, and the U.S. needs to take measures that provide North Korea confidence, which include sanctions relief and other steps.
Frank Aum, North Korea expert at the United States Institute of Peace. North Korea may give a hint about its future direction during an important meeting of the ruling Workers' Party of Korea later this month. Kim Jong-un's New Year's speech will also be closely watched for comments on the nuclear talks, and we'll have details when it happens on VOA Asia. These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Trump and Hong Kong protests boost Taiwan president's approval rating. U.S. dismisses North Korea deadline, renews calls for talks. China calls U.S. expulsions a mistake. Read and watch more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter, plus the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The United Nations Refugee Agency is calling for intensified support for millions of Afghans who remain displaced after more than four decades of war. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA on the UN High Commissioner for Refugees' appeal to world leaders expected to attend next week's Global Refugee Forum in Geneva.
A record-breaking 70.8 million people globally are forcibly displaced by conflict and persecution. Among them are some 4.6 million Afghans. More than half are registered as refugees, and another 2 million are displaced inside Afghanistan. The UN Refugee Agency says Afghans represent the longest displaced and the longest dispossessed population in the world. UNHCR spokesman Baba Balosh tells VOA 90% of Afghanistan's 2.7 million refugees are in Pakistan and Iran.
After four decades and 40 years, Afghans are still being hosted by Pakistan, by Iran.
Balosh says Afghans are increasingly fleeing to Europe to escape the sharp deterioration in security inside Afghanistan and the growing financial pressure on their countries of refuge.
Afghan asylum seekers constitute the majority of people arriving in Europe in terms of their asylum applications this year.
Balosh says this mass exodus highlights the need for continuing protection and support for Afghans both inside and outside their country. The overwhelming majority of these Afghans, he notes, are young people. He says they are the future of Afghanistan. However, without international support, he warns their ability to create a peaceful, stable society will be difficult. He says less than half of UNHCR's more than $500 million appeal for Afghan refugees and internally displaced has been met this year. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Protests in India have been escalating over the controversial Citizenship Amendment Bill, which will fast-track citizenship to religious minorities who face persecution in Afghanistan, Bangladesh, and Pakistan, but exclude Muslims. Students have been among those demonstrating, and they have alleged that police have used excessive force against them at a New Delhi university. VOA's Isha Sarai reports.
Overnight in India's capital, thousands of people protested outside the city's police station after authorities fired tear gas into the library of the Muslim-majority Jamia Millia Islamia University. University officials said that protests on and around campus were peaceful and that police entered the campus without permission. Hussein, a Jamia alumnus who asked to be referred to only by his first name, said his brother was studying for finals in the library when police fired tear gas shells and beat him over the head with batons.
I was outside of the campus, behind the mosque, and I was seeing that many people is coming from the inside the campus. I texted my brother to come outside. Then he came outside, but the police was there, and they beat him again.
Hussein said his brother was in police custody for nearly 3 hours before he was admitted to the hospital. And even then, officers were allowed in his hospital room when family was not.
He's fine now. He's resting, and he has taken lunch, and now he's resting. He has stitches in his head, around 5 to 6 stitches in his head, and a lot of blood was also there. He feels some weakness.
Police in New Delhi have denied allegations that they used excessive force, telling reporters Monday that they exercised the utmost restraint and used minimal force. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi appealed for calm Monday as protests continued throughout the country. Students of Jamia Millia Islamia University resumed their protests on Monday, marching outside the campus and in central Delhi. Aisha Sarai, VOA News, Washington.
Much more on the growing protests in India can be found at voanews.com and on Facebook at VOA Asia. Coming up, a southern U.S. home for Vietnamese refugees. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news from VOA Asia, the Program for International Student Assessment, says Indonesian students are among the lowest performers in Southeast Asia. The report, released by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, says Indonesian 15-year-olds ranked at the bottom 10 across 79 surveyed countries. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for this and much more. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, since the 1970s, more than 4 million Vietnamese have emigrated to America. Most of them are on America's West Coast, but a large group live in Texas and Louisiana in America's Deep South. That's where Teresa Nguyen ended up in 1979 when she came here with her family. VOA's Tra Mi has her story.
Louisiana is a deep southern U.S. state bordering the Gulf of Mexico and is famous for its developed fisheries. It is also where many Vietnamese refugees chose to live, where they came here in the 1970s. Teresa Nguyen is one of them.
I buy shrimp from fishermen, preliminarily processes, then distribute to big processing companies.
Nguyen was one of the first Vietnamese Americans to open a shrimp processing plant in New Orleans.
It is always super busy on weekends. It's more relaxing on weekdays with just a few boats.
Nguyen is now more than 70 years old, but for the past 20 years, she has been here every day during shrimp and oyster season.
I'm getting older, so I don't work as hard as I used to.
Nguyen's journey started since the fall of Saigon in 1975. In 1979, she, her husband, and 5 children fled Vietnam by boat. Nguyen saved enough money to buy a failing seafood processing facility. But getting started wasn't easy.
For almost 2 years, local fishermen did not want to do business with me. They would see me if they had just a few pounds. If they had more, they would go elsewhere.
Teresa Nguyen's facility continues to grow, but it's still not easy. She's been robbed by people and beaten up by nature.
Katrina destroyed everything. I lost all of my business. I'm now 71. I'm going to retire soon. But as long as God lets me continue, I'll keep working to take care of my children.
We thank VOA Vietnamese correspondent Tra Mi for contributing this report. You can see more online at our website at voanews.com. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can download our program. It's a podcast. You can take VOA Asia wherever you go. Just visit iTunes and SoundCloud. You can also see us on YouTube. Follow us on VOA Asia Twitter. We're on Instagram as well. And, of course, Facebook at VOA Asia. Plus, we want to hear from you. You can contact us any number of ways on any number of our platforms. Email's also an option, VOA Asia at voanews.com. We thank everyone listening on the radio, Chung Rung Christian University in Tainan, Taiwan, Star Radio FM 88.3. Hello to everyone there. We thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Keith Holmes, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a nice day.